You know, I just heard somebody here just said, how do I do that? God's about to show you today how you do that. Now, when you're spending time in the presence of the Lord, when you're spending time in worship, when you're keeping your eyes focused on Him, things just start to fade in His presence. They don't stay. They go. They pale in comparison to the presence of the living God who loves you, individually. He loves you individually. He loves you. Today's message is probably going to be short. Maybe to some people's happiness, maybe to some people's frown. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that it's going to be pinpoint accurate. And it's going to be on target for you. And that's not because I'm not, you know, buttering myself up here. I'm about to tell you why. The reason is a couple weeks ago, I was spending time with the Lord at work. Who gets to spend time with the Lord at work? Who wants to spend time with the Lord at work, right? I do. I need God at work just as much as I need Him at home, just as much as I need Him here. In fact, the Lord helps me a lot at work. He actually gives me witty things to do, witty things to say. And people at work sometimes are like, wow, where'd you get that? And I'm sitting there like, not from me, you know? It's really fun. God wants to be involved in every part of your lives. But I was asking the Lord, I'm like, Lord, what do you want to deliver to the body of Christ here at ALC? And as it always happens, the Lord answers, right? The Lord answers. He may not answer in the way you want him to answer. He might take a little time to answer, or you might not be listening, so you don't get to hear him until you start listening, but he's going to answer you. God wants to speak to you, people. He wants to give you your bread. Part of your bread, part of what was given to you as a born-again believer is that you get to commune with the Father. Wow. Right? Wow, Randy, right? Yeah. So God responded to me, you know, in a unique way. You know, my wife and I have been counseling and discipling people for almost 10 years now at our home. You know, open up our home and it's been awesome in so many different ways. It's blessed our kids, even though they're not a part of it. We just see the blessing that falls upon them from falling after what God has in store for you personally. Make sure you're falling after what God has in store for you, people. Blessing comes with it. But my wife and I have been, you know, doing this for a long time now, and my personal heart, I can't speak for my wife, but I believe that she would be joined up with this, is that, you know, Lord, my heart's always been before people come, Lord, you know, even that morning, Lord, what do you want to speak through me to the people that are coming, the person that's coming? And I recognized, you know, a long time ago that I just don't know anything compared to God. I don't. And so same with you. You don't know anything compared to God. The Bible says that He knows every thought. He knows every intent of your heart. That means when He says your, He means all of yours. All of mine. He knows them all. He knows exactly what you're thinking right now. What you're saying. You might be like, I'm looking at your clock. I want out of here. You know, because God's about to speak to me. And He is. But my heart's always been that directed that way. I want what God wants for you. And so I say to the Lord, Lord, you know, maybe I haven't had any time to prepare that day because the craziness of having four children and working and having a business and doing this and that and all the things that God has me doing that He put on my plate and I said yes to, that, you know, Lord, I want you to speak through me. And my heart is for your heart for these people. And today, that's the same. As if I'm sitting on my couch right now, as my wife and I tend to do, and we just have a great time, good old time. Every time we sit on that couch, the Lord gets to minister through us to these people. And then I'm like, Lord, that's the way I want. If I'm going to speak this, you know, two Sundays ago, I was thinking two weeks ago, so this be in two Sundays. I want it to be like that. I want a word from you for them, specific to their body. And the Lord delivered. So two Fridays ago, that was the week, 2 weeks ago, right? Two Fridays ago at 12:30 a.m., exactly, by the way, the Lord, I was awake. Yeah, I'm a late nighter. So is my wife, so that's cool. I was awake, and the Lord gave me a vision for you, for the ALC. You want to know what the vision is? Okay. Get ready. Hallelujah. It's not my sword. Special thank you to Pastor Sid and his sons. They have a lot of swords. Hallelujah. So I saw this person in the vision. I saw a person standing. And this person was swinging their sword all around, moving around, cutting in the air as if there was something there. But there wasn't anything in the air. I knew while I was seeing this guy do this, and it was a person, this person was representing multiple people in the body of ALC. It wasn't one specific person, it was many. So everybody take your finger and point at yourself and say, me. it was for many. This person didn't know that they were fighting against God. They didn't know it. Meaning that means in Christianese, they were deceived. They did not know. They wielded the sword in this vision, and the sword represented multiple things to multiple people in the body of ALC. It wasn't one thing. Each person, it might have been different. I didn't know, but I knew it represented multiple things. And all of a sudden, while this was all happening and the Lord was showing me what this represented, all of a sudden this person threw the sword down. Sorry, Pastor Sid. And they got on their knees and they surrendered to God. They surrendered. They gave up to God. And I'm watching this. Like at this point, I know nothing other than just the vision, you know, what God showed me in this vision. And at this point, I didn't even know it was for you guys, you know. And I'm watching him, you know, on his knees, surrendering to the Lord and the scene that thereof. And then all of a sudden, a cross appears. He picks up the cross, puts it on his shoulders, and starts walking. And the Lord showed me in that vision that when that happened, what it did, the surrender of the sword, whatever it represented in that person's life, the surrender on their knees, the surrender to God, and picking up their cross daily allowed the Father to start fighting for them. Some of you in here have been fighting in the air, at whims, at things that might not even be true, might not even be, it might be made up all in your mind. Like fear. Fear is an example, right? Fear of something that's going to happen, and it might never, ever happen. But, you know, that's an example. Some of you have been fighting against something, and it's not God's sword that you're using to fight with. It represents something else, and you don't know. So today, God is going to speak to you directly, and he's going to reveal that to you individually in your hearts. And I believe that today, I say tonight a lot because that's at our service. We go on at Saturday night, so I have to get used to Saturday nights and Sunday mornings. Wherever we go, you know. But the Lord wants to reveal to you individually what is applicable to you and what you need to surrender to him. Amen? So after this, after the vision, immediately following, Kel, can you grab this? Thank you. It's my wonderful wife. Hallelujah. Principal here at ALC. After seeing this vision, immediately, my wife was like, you know, like wondering what I was doing. Well, I was gone for like half an hour, 45 minutes or whatever it was time-wise. The Lord started pouring out on me exactly what he wanted to speak to you. And I knew at that point, I knew this was for this body. This was my answer to my prayer. What do you want to speak to the body of ALC? And so as fast as I could type, I'm sitting there on my iPhone, Brian, and I'm typing. I'm like, Lord, I can't type as fast as you speak. So God's slowing down for me, you know, and I'm typing and I won't stop. And I'm not, my brain's not even activated. My fingers are doing the typing, but everything that was coming through me was directly from the heart of the Father and Jesus. And when I was done, I was like, wow. I was loud. I'm like, wow, Lord, that was cool. Hallelujah. As I read what the Lord is speaking to you today, I plan on pausing along the way, guys, so that you can hear what the Lord is speaking to you. Often when people have prophetically spoke over my life, I have to go back and listen to the prophecy or prophetic word because there's just so much I missed because it just comes out and then, you know, life goes on, right? But today I'm going to slow it down. I believe that's why the Lord gave it to me before, so that I can read it and be slow versus just prophetically going with the flow of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's just pre-written by the Lord for you, like he did the Bible, but just rhema word, written. The word he gave seems to go in and out. And I didn't pick up this up until a few days later when I went back to it. It seems to go in and out from the perspective of God the Father speaking and God the Son speaking. I didn't even realize that, you know, as it was coming out. And I'm going to capture that towards the end, but it even happens, you know, when I'm not going to actually say that it happens in the middle of what he's saying. But towards the end, I'm going to actually call out one place because I believe the Lord wants me to show you that. So you ready for the Lord to speak to you? Because this is not Kevin. You thought you got me and they were praying for me, but you're getting God. You're not getting me. This isn't from me. This is for you, from the Lord. Ready? Okay. What is your sword that you need to lay down? What are you fighting so hard to keep? Your life? I say, for whoever saves his life or tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Your job? Is that your sword? Your family? Your dream? Your own dream? Who will pick up his cross and follow me? The defender of the weak, the times in trouble, the giver of life, who I am. I'm going to pause there. And I'm going to call out the scripture that God's referencing here, because I didn't know this. I had to go back, and I was like, Lord, that's scripture. That's scripture. So I'll go back in, and God was referencing there Matthew 16, 24 through 25, where Jesus told his disciples, he said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And God continued on saying, and he said, who will lose their life to find it? ALC. What is your swords, my brothers and sisters? Who are you fighting against? Do you not know the word says, we wrestle not against flesh or blood? Who do we fight against? Yeah. I'll pause there and say that. I'll say that scripture. That's Ephesians. He's referencing Ephesians 12, 6:12 rather. For we do not wrestle against flesh or blood, but against rulers, the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We do not wrestle against each other. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to rest. We're supposed to take down these spirits that he's referencing here in Ephesians 6:12. That's who we're dealing with. We're dealing that with in people, on people. People are being harassed by them. And that's what we're dealing with. Okay, God continued saying, how do you gain the victory? How do you overcome? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, he says. What is your sword? It's time to lay it down. It's time to lay it down. But you said you are old, but I say let the weak say I am strong. I'm going to pause there and say, you know, you know God often uses what the world calls weak, the world calls weak, not what he does, to show his strength. And 1 Corinthians 1, 27 says, but God chose what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in this world to shame the strong. Examples of this, if that's what you've said in your heart, examples of this are found throughout all scripture. David and Goliath, great example. Everybody knows David and Goliath, right? Even if you just got born again, you probably have already heard that story. David and Goliath. David was a shepherd boy. He was a boy. And he defeated a giant that everybody else was afraid of, including the king. Wow. God will use what seems like weak to take down things that seem like they're strong. The Israelites crossing the Red Sea, where God used one man, not an army, but one man, to deliver an entire nation out of Egypt. What's your Egypt? Jonah and God's message to Nineveh, where God used just one man again to bring a city to their knees. Who wants to bring a city to their knees? Who wants to take York for God? Time to get alone with God and see how that's possible. Because God can, with God, all things are possible. Samson, he was physically strong, right? So you can't use Samson, Kevin, as an example. But I can, actually. His life was marked by moral and spiritual weakness. He was weak inside. Yeah, at the end of his life, while captured by the Philistines, God granted him strength to pull down the Philistine temple. And in the end of his life, God used him to kill more, the Bible says, more Philistines than all the rest of his life. In one shot, he did more. That's a lot. And even Jesus, he was born to poor parents, right? Had to leave their country. And he was born in a humble manger. He was born into a seemingly insignificant town called Bethlehem, which was not insignificant. His early life was marked by poverty so that you might be rich. Yet our Father, he outsmarted Satan. Hallelujah. Totally outsmarted him. Super cool. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And in his death, today, all around the world, people get the opportunity to hear about Jesus and receive him for their own personal Lord and Savior. Wow. That's a wow. God continues on, and he says to you, this is God now. Let's get back into that. Who do you need to release forgiveness for in your life? Surely, God uses the word surely here. What does surely mean? Without a doubt. Okay? Check this out. Surely there is someone that has caused you harm, or in word or in deed. My word teaches to forgive. Is your sword on forgiveness? Has your sword in your life been on forgiveness that you're just fighting against? My word teaches to forgive. Lay it down. Lay that sword down and stop fighting for yourself. Run to me. Pick up your cross, not the sword, Kev. Pick up your cross and you will find the rest that you have been looking for all your life. There are some that have been wrestling with unforgiveness in their heart for what seems to be a lifetime. And God wants to melt it away in one day. Melt it away in one day. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's not emotional. It's a choice. It's a decision to say, yes, God, I'll do it your way and not my way anymore. God continues and says, lay down your sword. Lay down your sword, brothers and sisters. Beautiful are the hands and the feet of those who bring good news. Is your sword fear? He says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. That when he says you, I know he means each and every single one of you, because his word says it. He continues and says, perfect love, cast out all fear. Woo! Hallelujah! Lay down that sword of fear you've been fighting with, he says. It's time to finish the race. It's time to win the race. My word says the young shall see visions, the old shall dream dreams. But who says the dreams of the old can't come to pass in the present? Who says your dreams can't come to pass now? Dreams will come to pass, he says. Lay down your sword of your own dreams. And pick up my will. My will is that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. Pick up my great commission and run with it. You know, Pastor or Apostle Dale said, you know, come with me to church. He's saying that because that's a message to this body. He's not telling you. I don't think I've ever heard him say that. Or maybe to, like he's saying it now. Let's put it that way. Maybe I have heard him say it, but I don't recall it. Let's put it that way. But he's saying to a church, your church, because that's the message that God's speaking to you. God continues, pick up my great commission and run with it. My son's words haven't died, but they live on through all of you. Pick up your cross daily. Whew. I see a picture there. I'm gonna pause. I see a picture of some in this ministry, this church, this body, choosing to say, okay, Lord, I know you've been calling me. I know you've been leading me to talk to this person, this specific person, about the Lord, and I have been disobedient. I see some of you repenting of that and going and saying, Lord, I'm going to do it now. Lead me again. I repent. I'm going to move on. God's looking for a heart of people that are willing to say, yes, Lord, I hear your word. Logos and Rhema, and I'm going to choose to do it. You know, most people that are in the church these days, most people sit around, absorb the word, and are not doers of the word. And the reason why I know that is because this church in this world, in the United States specifically, even thinking that way, would be a lot greater if it wasn't. If we all picked up the word today, if everyone in this room said, okay, forget this, we're going to move forward, I'm going to step out of fear, and I'm going to walk forward with God's great commission, I'm going to talk to all the people that he's leading to me, that are in my life, that he's leading me to talk to about Jesus, guess what would happen to this? Guess what happened to York? Forget this church. Guess what would happen to York? God's looking for a people that is willing to say yes and then do, not a people that says yes and don't. Hallelujah. You know, God's referencing in this passage Jesus' words in Matthew 28:18-20, where he says, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Okay, so not just here, but everywhere, you know, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. God's with you when you are talking to people about the Lord. You just have to get outside of yourself. We have our, you know, I go to CWI in Lancaster. We come down to Columbia. Everybody, raise your hand if you know where Columbia's at. Wait, some of you don't know where Columbia's at? Okay, all right. Columbia's really close to you guys. Okay, so on the first Sunday of the month, and this week, actually this month, we changed it so that we can go, right? My mom changed it, thankfully, to the second Sunday of the month. We meet in Columbia, and we walk around with lunches that our team at the church creates, and we hand out free lunches to start conversation. The lunches are not, we're not handing out lunches just to be like, hey, here you go. You know, we're handing out lunches to start the conversation with people about Jesus. People that need that are hurt, that need healing, the people that are on the road, they're on the side of the road that Jesus talked about. Go out in the highways and byways and pick up these people because the people here are not listening. go out and in the highways and byways and pick up these people. That's what we're ministering to, those people, and it's super easy. Everybody has the opportunity. You church are all invited if you want to do that. You know, you're invited. And one thing it does for us, one thing it did for me when we first did it, my son Nathan and God told me to take my son to City Gate. And this was back when it started in Lancaster, before even it was in Columbia. And take your son to Lancaster and teach him how to minister to people. Okay, yes, Lord. Yes, sir. God wants to get to this generation, but sometimes God has to get through this generation to get to that generation. I had to be obedient. He could just get in the car and drive himself to Lancaster. God wants to bless this generation and raise them up strong. He wants to raise us up strong. And we just got to step into it. We got to step into it. Whew. God continues on and says, lay down that fear. That's the only thing stopping you. Lay down that fear. Pick up love for people as I do. The love that one would lay down his life for the brethren. He continues on and says, why do you fight against one another? Hallelujah. What is the worth of your fight? No, I say, drop to your knees and repent. Forgive your brother, even up to 70 times 7, and pick up your cross daily. You say you are justified in your anger. You say that you are justified in your actions, but I say something different to you. In your justification, you lose hope. In your own thinking, You are right, but you are wrong. In your desire to avenge, you sin. God says to you that this is ministering to, lay down your own sword and fight no more for your enemy. For you don't wrestle against flesh or blood. Pick up your cross daily, bear it, ask God to heal your heart and move on. What is your cross? He says. The cross is my way, he says. You say you want my way. I say, when you choose me, you're to give up your own and follow me. Lay down your sword, my people. Lay down your own sword. Now, this is the point where the Lord pointed out to me that that was the Father speaking for the most part there. It transitioned. He wanted me to point this out to you. It transitioned to Jesus speaking to you. God, the Son. Brothers, love one another. Woo! Love one another. This is not a suggestion, but a commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It isn't a mere suggestion. It's the Father's commandment that we love. You say you want to give up. Who will you give up to? Jesus says. Yourself? Your enemy? Who will you give yourself up to? And then the Lord pointed out, it transitions back to the Father, and the Father says to you, surrender yourself to him. That might be uncomfortable to hear for some. But the Father says it to you, surrender yourself to him. To him, the one that surrendered himself for you. A great cost that you can give personally is your time. You can't buy time. You can't give it away to your friends. You can only just live in the present. Your time is precious to me. I'm sorry, he said. Let me say exactly how he said it. Your time is precious to you as it is to me. He cares about your time. So lay down your own sword now, your own sword, and surrender to the one. What is your sword? Lay it down. Pick up your cross daily and follow me.